प्रकटीश की जय समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सम ऑफ द बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सम ऑफ द बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सम ऑफ द बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग नमः ओम विष्णु पराय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय बुद्धि श्रीमती भक्ति वरांदा स्वामी नित्य नामनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी विचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चाचार्य सतारिणी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 3, entitled The Lord's Pastimes Out of Vrindavan. And today we have text number 24. Yes, text number 24. Puryam kadachit. I'll finish. It's a short verse, so we're just going to go through it. Puryam kadachit kridadbhir. Puryam kadachit kridadbhir. Yadu boja kumarakai. Yadu boja kumarakai. Kopita munaya sepur. Gopita munayakshepur Bhagavan matta kovidaha Bhagavan matta kovidaha Puryanka dachit kridadvir Yadu bhoja kumarakai Gopita munayakshepur Bhagavan Matta Kovidaha. Ladies? Ladies? Jakumarakai. Puryam in the city of Dwarka. Kadachit, once upon a time. Kadadbhi, by sporting activities. Yadu, the descendants of Yadu. Bhoja, the descendants of Bhoja. Kamarakai, princes. Kopitaha, became angry. Munayaha, the great sages. Shepu, cursed. Bhagavat, the personality of Godhead. Mata, desire. Kovida, cognizant. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Once upon a time, great sages were made angry by the sporting activities of the princely descendants of the Yadu and Bhoja dynasties. And thus, as desired by the Lord, the sages cursed them. Purport. The associates of the Lord who were playing the part of princely descendants of the Yadu and Bhoja dynasties were not ordinary living entities. It is not possible that they could offend any saintly man or sage, nor could the sages, who were all pure devotees of the Lord, be influenced by anger by any of the sporting activities of the princes born in the holy dynasties of Yadu or Bhoja, wherein the Lord Himself appeared as a descendant. The cursing of the princes by the sages was another transcendental pastime of the Lord to make a show of anger. The princes were cursed in order that one may know that even the descendants of the Lord, who could never be vanquished by any act of material nature, were subjected to the reactions of anger by great devotees of the Lord. One should therefore take great care and attention not to commit an offense at the feet of a devotee of the Lord. Om Ajnani Timirandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshu Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Gam Guru Divachalam Pangam Langaya Tegiram Yatkipadam Hamande Sri Gurum Tiranjananam. Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram. It's nice the way Srila Prabhupada translated this, that once upon a time, great sages were made angry by the sporting activities of the princely descendants of Yadu and Bhoja dynasties. And thus, as desired by the Lord, the sages cursed them. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Jayato Vishaya Pungsang Sangha Seshu Pajayate Sangha Sanjayate Kama Kama Krodha Vijayate. That while contemplating the senses, and we all have that experience, that we become focused on our senses, or one of our senses. Prabhupada gives the example of the fish who becomes captured by his tongue, and he wants to taste the bait that's on the hook, and when he tries to taste it, he is trapped. Or how the deer is attracted to the flute playing of the hunter. There's so many examples, right? The elephant becomes attracted by his genitals, and they trap him in a big pit. So certainly all the senses are very difficult. And if one, what to speak of a human who has six senses, right? We have mind, sense of smell, touch, taste, sight, hearing, even the mind, we can consider that as well. If any of these senses should overcome us, and by contemplating them, one will naturally develop an attachment to a certain thing. Oh, I hear this music a lot, so I want to hear this particular song or this type of music, or I smell something and I just need to have that smell, or I just need to have that taste. An attachment develops. And from that attachment, lust develops. One becomes anxious that I need to have this experience. My senses are raging, so I need to have this sex life, or let me have this taste or sound or sight or smell. And then when that is not satisfied, though, the unfortunate thing is kama krodha vijayate, that anger comes from it. And in this purport and in this translation, Prabhupada makes a very interesting point about anger. That if the senses are not controlled, then gradually, again, Krishna says, Krodha bhavati samoha, samoha smriti vibhrama, smriti brankshat buri nasha, buri nasha tana panashyati. That from that anger, one becomes deluded. Delusion arises. Oh, I just have to have this, no matter what these circumstances are. Whatever the risk is, I need to take a taste of this. It's like, again, the fish. It becomes deluded and thinks, I have to have a taste of bait that's on this hook. So from that delusion, one becomes bewildered. Right? And then from that bewilderment of memory, forgetting that this is dangerous, this is not a good idea. If I do this thing, if I go here, or I speak in such a way, if I associate with someone that I want to enjoy in an improper way, memory is lost. One becomes deluded, and one falls down into, again, the material pool. And again, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Trividam Narakashyedam Dwaram Nashanam Atmana, that there are different gates that lead to degradation of the soul. There are different gates to this hellish existence. And one should be, and every sane man should give them up. What are they? Lust, anger, and greed. Again, lust, anger, and greed. Because they lead to the degradation of the soul. And if one is not careful, then, and again, the senses are so impetuous. They're so curious. I need to hear this, or I need to experience that. That if we're not careful, then one will fall back into the material pool. And we all know what that is. We're all experiencing that now. The material pool means birth, death, old age, and disease. Every day we're experiencing that. Therefore, Rupa Goswami advises, the Vedic literatures are advising us, the saints are advising us, Vacho Vegam Manasakrodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam Udara Pasta Vegam. A sober person should learn to tolerate these things, tolerate the urge to speak. Again, one may be just out of curiosity, or just out of sentiment, even, we want to speak. Or just out of whatever the motive may be, we want to speak. We want to say something, and we, oh, gosh, I wish I would have never said that. I should never have said that. And Therefore, the sober person learns how to tolerate this. Control the speech, control that tongue. Jiva vegam udara pasta vegam. The senses have to be controlled. Part of that control is that one has to tolerate when they come and they demand something. Or the mind is demanding something. Manasa krodavi. The mind is also demanding so many things. It wants attention. It wants to reach out and understand this or that without any regard. Right? The mind is it's reaching out without any intelligence. Then what happens? You fall into some very, very risky situation. It leads to certain demands of action, whether it be anger or the tongue, belly and genitals. So the sober person realizes that that being the case, one should be very careful in how we conduct ourselves. In this case, the associates of the Lord, who were only playing the part, actually they were great souls. Anyone who can be there when the Lord is present, what to speak of taking birth in his dynasty, Yadu or Bhoja, they're very special personalities. They've accumulated volumes of pious activity, the Bhagavatam explains. Those who were intimately playing with the Lord as his cowherd boyfriends and girlfriends, very, very special people. But also those who were in his dynasty, very special personalities, and we can't minimize who they are. So as Prabhupada points out here, the associates of the Lord, who were playing the part of princely descendants of the Yadu and Bhoja were not ordinary living entities. It's not possible to equate them with this dynasty or that dynasty, and their activities are mundane or something. Right? The Bhagavatam tells us that one should recognize that those who were engaged with the Lord, or those who are spiritualists, they may be engaged in various activities, but because their minds are absorbed in the lotus feet of the Lord, and they hear, chant, and remember his form, they're considered on the transcendental platform. These associates of the Lord, they were a great exalted personalities. But for the purpose of instruction, as we've heard over and over, they took on a particular service to show us how precarious even if one is in a very exalted position, if one is not careful, that one can fall down. But they should not be seen, as Prabhupada points out here in this case, as ordinary personalities. Drishtrai svabhava janatarva bhushash jadoshar na prakritatam ihabhasya jadasya pashyat. Rupa Goswami explains, Gangambasham Kalabud Buddha Pankar, that they're not they shouldn't be seen from a materialistic point of view. One should not look at the devotees of the Lord as just, they've taken birth in a bad family. They're not qualified. They have a different complexion. Or that they're deformed or diseased in some way. And these things, they may seem prominent. They may seem prominent. But one cannot consider this in understanding the position of the devotee of the Lord. Just like the Ganga, if you've ever been there during the rainy season, it gets full of foam and mud. It gets full of all kinds of debris. Just like if you go to Haridwar, and you go to the Brahma Ghat, there all sorts of pujas are taking place. And as part of the pujas, people throw ashes. So the ashes and flowers and coconuts and there's all incense. There's all kinds of stuff floating. But no one pays any attention. They still take bath in the Ganga. Not considering that there's these sometimes what to mundane vision would be contaminated items, or even floating bodies. Right? One year we were in Mayapur and we were bathing along the Ganga, and explained this story once before, but it's so clear in my brain. We were bathing in the Ganga, and all of a sudden there was a really terrible smell. So we were thinking, what's going on here? So we got up and walked a little further up the bank there, and there was a little cove where a bloated body had floated down and was just sitting there peacefully, you could say. And there was a crow on top of the body doing his thing. And right next to the body, not more than 4 or 5 feet away, there were a few local residents. They were just washing and doing their morning snan. It was incredible. It impressed me so much that just see their transcendental vision. So the Ganga may get full of so many things, and according to our vision, it seems, it's just, I don't want to be there. It can't be polluted. Neither can one see or should see the advanced devotee of the Lord in such a manner. Of course, that doesn't mean that's not a license for one to act improperly, as is the example here. These devotees, these great personalities who were born in the family of Yadu and Bhoja, wherein the Lord himself appeared as a descendant, great exalted personalities, it was not a license for them to act improperly. And the story goes, they offended some, who was it, that sage? Was it the sages or a sage? I don't remember. Who cursed them, and they pretended they had a pregnant, and it was a ball of iron or something underneath the dress, right? And after the curse, they were terrified. Oh, we're so sorry. We didn't mean, anyway, this curse, it had to take effect. So what did they do? They ground the iron ball into small little pieces and threw it in the water. And eventually it grew up as reeds. And the Yadus, they were fighting amongst them. They one day got intoxicated and began to battle each other, got angry, saying so many things. As Rupa Goswami says, you have to learn how to tolerate that urge to speak. They began to say so many things, they began to fight, and they killed each other. And Prabhupada makes this point here, that it's not by just some material circumstance that they were able to be defeated, but it had to take an act of the Lord. The princes were cursed in order that one may know that even the descendants of the Lord, who could never be vanquished by any act of material nature, were subjected to the reactions of anger by great devotees of the Lord. One has to be careful, therefore, to tolerate that urge to speak, tolerate the pushings. We see it practically in society now, that the leaders of the world, they're all agitated in so many different ways, casting so many nasty words on each other, ready to, like one was saying, push a red button. Well, you have a red button, but I got a bigger red button. These are, and they're ready to commit crimes against man, against humanity, against animals, against the earth. What is the destination of such a society? Well, the Bhagavatam tells us that Yadu Deveshu Vedeshu, right? Goshu Vishneshu Sadhushu. That society, which is envious of the demigods who are representatives of the personality of Godhead, who are envious of the Vedic literatures, which are giving us information of the personality of Godhead. I remember years ago, we used to, we were in San Diego doing the airport, and there was there were a couple workers there who just were so envious of the devotees. They would make a point of getting books and whatever books they could collect in the in the airport. Sometimes they would approach people. You don't want that thing. It's whatever. And they would take their book. And they would come by later on and they would give them to us. Or while we were speaking to someone, they would come up and offer the book. But when you open up the book, sometimes they had a shot bullet holes through them, or they had put in feces. It was a regular thing. It was so demoniac. So the Bhagavatam tells us that that society, which is envious of the Vedic literatures, Vedeshu, that literature which is giving us information on the personality of God, and or envious of the Brahmanas, or the Vaishnavas, or religious principles, and what to speak of the personality of Godhead, that society will be quickly vanquished. There's no doubt that because the leaders, certain leaders of the world, are engaged in such sinful activities. They have no regard for humanity. They have no regard for rights. They have no regard for animals. They have no regard for the earth. That society, without a doubt, in due course, without a doubt, those societies will be destroyed. So to offend innocent persons. Of course, someone may ask, well, who's innocent? Everybody's got some kind of karma they're having to deal with. They came into this world, they're sinful. So who's innocent? But the fact is that there are persons in this world who, by certain circumstances, have been put into this condition. They should be given an opportunity to hear about Krishna consciousness and make their lives useful. make their lives perfect. And when that's interrupted by these demoniac activities, a demoniac society, demoniac leaders, it's a crime. And there's no doubt that that society will have to be punished for that. Just as here, again, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that they were great personalities, but because they offended the devotees, who are very rare. Muktanam api siranam. What is that verse? Muktanam api siranam. Narayana parayana. Sudurlabha prashantatma koti shvapi mahamune. They're very rare. To be in the association of devotees is very rare. To be in association of peaceful, Krishna-conscious persons is very rare. And to make an offense against them is very grievous. There's no doubt. So one should, as Prabhupada points out here, one should take care and attention and not to commit an offense at the feet of a devotee of the Lord. Krishna does not like that. The devotees can also get angry. There's no question. Right? Bhima was very angry. Maharaj Purkit was angry. Krishna was trying to get Arjuna to become angry. That is a different kind. That we have to understand is on a transcendental platform. That's in service of the Lord. Hanuman was also quite angry to the point where he burned down the city of Ravan. That's pretty angry. So, it's not that a devotee cannot get angry when the Vaishnavas or when the Lord are offended. Certainly, Srila Prabhupada was also quite tempered. So, that can be there. But that is on a whole different scale. That is of a whole different dimension. In the service of the Lord, we can also become determined and ready to protect the Vedic literatures, protect the devotees, the brahmanas, the personality of Godhead, what to speak of the cows. Goshu, yeah, the cows. So, a very interesting purport. Prabhupada makes some wonderful, wonderful points. And we should meditate on them in all seriousness. We'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Maharaj? Rigapati Prabhu?
They were behaving frivolously. They thought they'd have some fun, but they got themselves cursed. It completely backfired on them. But the thing is this, that, you know, in general, people are looking for satisfaction in relationships, you know, and Nandamaya Biasat, we're hankering for pleasure. So could you give us, what are some Shastra guidelines, how to behave in such a way that we get satisfaction in relationships, and we're less, and therefore less inclined to engage in this frivolous behavior, which is going to, like it did on these boys, backfire on them and get us cursed. What are the positive ways we can interact with each other so that we experience the satisfaction and the happiness we're hankering for in relationships, and we're not inclined to be frivolous like that, which is, I imagine, what was going on.
Well, that's a very, very good question. It's multiple answers to that. That is very powerful. First of all, we can take instruction from the Goswamis. They tell us how we should act. Upadeshamrita gives us instruction on how a society and how the members of society should conduct themselves how they should respect devotees of different levels of realization. So the instructions are there, Upadeshamrita, the shiksha, nectar of devotion, and Prabhupada's given us the Bhagavatam. If we read the Bhagavatam, you can just recite or remember the pastimes of great devotees like Ambarish Maharaj, who tolerated, how Prahlad tolerated, and how he gave so many wonderful instructions in how civilization, how society should be organized. In the seventh canto, there's all kinds of wonderful instructions given by Prahlad in, I forget the name of the chapter, it's civilization and
instructions
in civilization. So the seventh canto Bhagavatam gives us, Lord Rishabhadev gives us so many wonderful instructions. So the information is there. And what to speak? Srila Prabhupada has given us very simple guidelines. You follow the regulative principles. You chant Hare Krishna very sincerely and follow the principles. The first offense against the holy name is Vaishnava Aparad, not to offend the Vaishnavas. Otherwise, the holy name will not tolerate that. The holy name will not tolerate the offense to the Vaishnavas. So if we read all of these sources and take them seriously, all the answers are right there. Does that answer?
Yeah, it does. I was actually fishing for something. You came really close to when you mentioned the Upadeshamrita. I was fishing for that verse, Dadati Pratiganati Guyamakati Prichati
Bhumte Bhojate Sadhidam Prati Lakshmi. Yeah, how to give, accept, how to give charity. There's all of that advice, all of those guidelines are there. We just have to read those literatures. Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada, what is it, Shikshamrita? There's pages and pages of Srila Prabhupada giving instructions in how one should associate, how one should engage in service, how one should chant, how one should read. Everything is there, how to worship the deity. It's just a matter of doing it. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah.
Maharaj. Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Now, it's very interesting that you mentioned some of the terrible things that were going on at the airport. I remember in 1976, believe it or not, many of our sales were being interrupted by what you might call demoniac elements. And just the way you described it, with books, and when you opened it up, you saw all sorts of abominable substances in the book. But that was not the end of it. That was the beginning of it. Because when that got back to the temple, many of the devotees were very upset that our books were being, I forgot the word they used, but offended, basically. So what happened was that we decided to have a big picket line at the airport. At least 50 devotees came out. And the person who did the sculpture of Srila Prabhupada there, he did all these very incredibly fancy signs. So everybody had picketing signs. Western Airlines discriminates against religion. And we went back and forth, back and forth. And as you said, since the airline was tolerating it, they were allowing it, they could have stopped it. They didn't do that. Western Airlines disappeared very fast. And that's perfect conclusion to your talk.
This this guy that I was pointing out, he used to work for PSA.
Yeah.
Remember that airline? It didn't last.
This was Western Airlines, because I was there.
Yeah. Such a tenoy, brother.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, bro. When you were quoting that famous verse, yada yada,
vedeso, deveso, gozo, vipreso, where Lord Krishna says that when this one disrespects the Vedas, the Brahmanas, the cows, and ultimately myself.
And myself.
It makes a lot of sense for what you mentioned, for what's going on in the world. So then, just like you just also said, in his question of Bhrigupati, we have it in the books. So we also have that, how to act or behave or how to respond to these situations. We are very, how do you say, like small, tiny, little, you can say, organization compared to the big, big organizations in the world. But actually, we do have the solution. We just have to apply it. Yeah. I say this because sometimes I have experience while distributing books, some people are so, you know, like determined. He says, who's behind this? And then, well, is this a religion? Is this a Hare Krishna? No, thank you. So my point in this is that if we support, if we continue supporting these big, big organizations, we still haven't done our job yet completely. In other words, what I'm saying is that little by little, at least, we should get that thing together, you know, how to be self-sufficient ourselves, how to, in that way, you have your cows, you have your land, you don't need anything from these people. But if you don't, and we just keep putting our money there, they keep doing that. It's like, go ahead, here's my money. And of course, you know, we also have that yukta vairagya, you utilize everything for the service of the Lord. That's also correct. But at what point are we going to actually stand, make a foot stand? From now on, we don't need that. We don't need you.
Yeah, when you consider this tragedy that's going on right now in Europe, what's it based on? The bottom line to all of that is oil. It's all about oil. And oil means money and control and power. It's incumbent upon civilized society to get free from these fossil fuels, to give up, move to something that's, I mean, there's so many alternatives. But because of this, we know, right, alternatives, sun, solar, wind, there's so many alternatives that are there. But because somebody has some oil, they can threaten the rest of the world. It's madness. It's madness. I mean, we could go on for another hour discussing that, but it's madness. And until we get to a point where we don't have to rely on this oil, we don't have to rely on this nuclear stuff, we don't have to rely on sinful leaders and animal slaughter, polluting the earth in so many different ways, it'll be a better society. Of course, we know we're in Kali Yuga, and things are only going to get worse. But we have a window of time here that we can make some improvement. We'll end there. Thank you. Thank you.